Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We'll definitely be hearing a lot of this next week.
Oh, yeah.
When we get ready to go see the Dogs at Dooley Field. Which will be awesome.
I think you're going to hear a lot of this weekend around Nash Vegas.
I hope so.
Up and down Broadway at the tailgates around the stadium.
Wish James Brown were still alive to be able to come back and perform
he will,
that.
He will always live in our computers here at 960 The Ref.
The Morning Show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. David Johnston, Logan Booker along with you. And the man everybody's been waiting for, our buddy, the best center in the history of Georgia football, Russ Tanner.
Maybe all of football.
That's it.
We'll take it, baby. I'm not one to turn down a compliment.
Mortgage banker, Prime Lending. You can find Russ at athenslender.com. Hey, Russ, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. It's awesome to be back, my friends. I love August. I love football. And I love the fact that you have my same piece of paper with my same stuff written on it for 4 years in a row.
It ain't changing, man.
It ain't changing.
Now, here, I was telling Russ during the break that here in the building, all the studios are being updated. We're getting new boards in all these studios, and the cabinetry and everything is getting changed up. We're going to have different speakers, and a lot of the stuff in here is going to be gone or put in a different place. So, maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we'll actually be in a different room for a week or two. And Russ was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this.
Yeah, spice it up.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not one to change the mojo about stuff. But, hey, maybe that's what we need, baby.
Maybe
give it a little bit different.
It's been our fault.
19 is the year.
That's right. That's right. The year we changed the studio, changed the board. This board that we use in here, it's not older than me, but it's probably older than you guys. So, you know, it's – but, it works.
I was curious. I wanted to know, like, the summer of 1980, did we switch the boards up?
I'll go back and check.
We may have.
I believe it or not, I wasn't around then. I wasn't around then. But we were actually a different building then. We were over on Millage Avenue. So that's really going way back. Well, how's the summer been?
Man, it's good. It's busy. The Tanner clan grew.
Yep,
this year.
I was going to say, tell us about the family.
Yeah, man. We got, we're up to 4 kids now.
Awesome.
Apparently.
Awesome.
That's where we're at. Yeah. Got a baby boy. His name is Major. I went ahead and gave him a name just in case he's an SEC linebacker.
You never know.
If he meets somebody at the one and drives him back, Major Tanner with the stick.
That is a great football name.
I love that name.
There's a lot of names you can't go. I'm not going to call them out, but, you're not seeing many Sebastians sticking guys in the A-gap, driving them back. So, sorry if your kid's named Sebastian.
That's how it is. Well, Major Applewhite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jeff Heron has a son named Major.
There you go.
So that's a cool name.
Yeah.
Very cool name.
Man, I'm ready for him, baby.
So, now, how old is Major now?
6 months old.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So, what about Little League football?
Tomorrow.
Really?
The countdown is stinking on.
Is it really?
Yeah, man. We're rocking and rolling. The Titans are back. Second year in the league. I've got one son on the 8-year-old team, one son on the 6-year-old team.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, we're bang shang-a-langin' tomorrow.
Are we going to, now, besides your last name, Tanner, which is very familiar, are we going to hear some other familiar last names in some of these football reports? Like Smart?
Possibly.
Yep.
And I actually know that one last name, Smart, is probably listening to us this morning. I got a question last night where they play and say, yeah, man, we got some cats that know football and have a little bit of it in their blood. So, we'll see.
I love it. I absolutely love
it. We're up to 4 plays this year. Last year, we had 2 plays.
Really?
Yeah.
So we doubled the playbook.
Last year, we had sweep and power. We ain't even huddle. We would just line up, say, run it to the right side.
Well, it's funny. Y'all had your championship game, I think, the day after the last time you were in here last year. And I think I finally had to text you and say, hey, how did you guys do? Because people want to know how the team did.
We made it last year's first year in the league. We got beat 6-0 in the championship game. The downtown Falcons beat us. They're the 3-time in a row champs. We got a bad rap on a bum holding call.
Mm.
They beat us 6-0. We scored, but they called it back. Man, you can't call holding on the only touchdown the 6-year-old score. But it is what it is, man. You can't make excuses. So
Was it a bad call, or was it just an untimely? Is it like one of those on every play?
No, we held the crap out of him. I mean, we wrapped up and pulled him out of the way.
Not cheating, you're not trying.
I mean, he definitely had a chance to make the tackle. But
so it doesn't matter what age you are, there's holding on every play.
Probably.
I love it.
So.
Then it's an untimely call. That's what it is.
It is what it is. But you know, we coach up to the edge of the rules. So
8-year old and so there, that's two different leagues then, right? 8-year old and are they playing on the same?
No.
Okay,
two different leagues.
So you got twice as many games to go to this year. Oh, I love it.
But they're on the same day. We rock and roll, man. I mean, look, we don't play games.
All right, what is the Tanner donkey count up to right now?
We're down to 2.
Uh-oh,
what happened?
Wrong direction.
Look, man, we're trying to take the show in a positive direction. Mayflower, Mayflower didn't make it.
Oh.
But we got a baby now named Felix.
Okay.
I love it.
Yeah.
So who do you have now? You got Felix.
Yeah.
And
Milo.
And Milo.
Yeah, and we got a goat named Juicy and a hog named Tenderloin.
Is that a sign of things to come?
It is foreshadowing.
Uh-oh. That's not good.
Did you see, we talked about it yesterday, the new Missouri logo. They have an MU.
There's a mule.
Did you see that?
Yeah, is that on purpose?
I think so. Huh. I mean, if it's not on purpose, it's an amazing accident. Because the mule, as we know, is the state animal of Missouri. So,
yeah, not on purpose.
Yeah, it's definitely. I'll never unsee it. But now I'm sorry about Mayflower.
Yeah.
Right, how old is Mayflower?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
We don't know.
You know,
just bless mule, her heart. In mule years, just a mule.
Just a mule.
Just a mule.
I hear you. Anyway, well, good to have you back, Russ. How's Shelly doing? She doing fine?
Yeah, Shelly's doing great.
Excellent.
She's hopefully listening this morning. So, you know, we'll see.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, how fired up are you and how fired up is the Tanner clan for the season?
Mm.
Look, baby, we love football season.
Yeah.
I mean, we love coaching it. We love playing it. We love watching it. I was proud this morning. We got in the car. I was taking my 3 older kids to school. And Rhett, one of my sons, asked, Daddy, who won, Clemson or Tech? And I was like, well, Clemson smashed them. He's like, yeah, that's what I thought. And my daughter, who is 10, said, yeah, but Tech's got a new coach this year.
I was like, I love it. That's like, fantastic.
We are doing things right in our
house. How about
house.
That?
So our jobs are in.
My 5th grade daughter knows that Tech has a new football coach, and that's going to be a struggle.
How
for
intuitive
him,
so. Is that? That's awesome. You know,
better watch out for my job here pretty soon, man. We're
no kidding.
The little Tanner clan in here.
But, you know, I mean, you come into the Georgia season, I mean, you can't feel there's no way to feel better about the season right now than where we're at. I mean, hope springs eternal every fall, right? I mean, we always think this could be the year. We're going on 30-something years of that now. But, I mean, it sets up to where the talent is there, the players are there, you know, the system buy-in has happened as far as the mentality. And now you just need the ball to bounce your way a few times. Somebody asked me this week, like, what's your prediction? What do you think? It's like, look, Georgia can win every game.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't understand is how much the ball has to bounce your way, how much injuries have to avoid you and all that. But, you know, we got a shot, baby, like a legit shot.
It's a year that's been circled, I guess, since Kirby came in. All excuses aside, 2016, you knew it'd be transition. 2017, we all agree, way ahead of schedule, if you would. Last year kind of is what it was. I mean, it was a great season of buy-in, I think, as you just put it. But this year, man, I mean, as we have in our promo, Chip Towers points out, we've all known Notre Dame is on the schedule for a long time. And I've been around some practices. I assume you've seen some as well. This team looks different. It feels different. When I look out there compared to what I've seen in the past, from top to bottom, man, there's no position on the field where I look and be like, that's going to be the crutch this year. That's going to be what's going to hold Georgia back. It just feels like the most complete team I've ever been around. It's impressive.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, I agree. I mean, you look, there's not – you can't point and say this is a weak spot. You know, people love to ask the question because we all have to have something to worry about, right?
Of course.
It's in our Georgia genes.
Larry Munson left us
in our
that,
Georgia
right.
genes. And people ask, oh, man, receiver, what do you think? Like, well, we ain't running a bunch of chopped liver guys out there that couldn't start for Johnson County.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's studs everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, you may not have the proven guys that you think have it, but if Georgia is depending on their wide receivers this year to determine if the season's a win or a loss, then things have gone horribly wrong.
Exactly.
You know, you've got a lot of kids that are really talented that work really hard. And, you know, it may be a deal to where it frees Fromm up to hit the open man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to zero in on Holloman, you know, or zero in on Mecole or something like that. I mean, you find the open guy and go. Now, the two places you look for concern, like if you want to have somewhere to be worried about, Georgia fans, here's what you got. We cannot have an injury at the quarterback situation.
No. No,
and Charlie Warner also has to stay healthy.
Yes.
I mean, those are the only two places on the field where you're thin, and it's just you have unproven guys behind your frontline guys. You know, if Fromm goes down, you know, it's going to be another late 90s situation like where Hines lined up at quarterback. Like, we're going to say, you know what? Screw it all. Yeah. Power right. DeAndre Swift, direct snap.
Would you say Alabama's in the same boat with Tua?
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Maybe Clemson may.
100%.
You know, I know Bryce isn't Trevor Lawrence, but they have at least have a guy maybe that could step in there and do something. But, yeah, Georgia's no different than the other teams.
But it's all good.
Is Ohio State the same with Fields? Probably. Is Washington with Eason? I mean, all these because of the transfer portal now, it seems like – the top teams have that one guy, and if he gets hurt, then they're in trouble.
It is.
Gone are the days of 3 5-star quarterbacks on the same roster.
Exactly.
You will never see that again.
Well, exactly. if Kirby's listening right now, which I doubt he is.
Oh, he's listening.
People in his house listen.
He always
listens. But here's what we need to do. We need a signal that Kirby can do, and the entire stadium watches him, to where Jake Fromm takes off running, Kirby does a hand signal, and we all yell in unison, "Get down!"
Exactly.
Like, bro, you better not run the ball this year. Like, no, if a guy comes close to you, you better look like a fainting goat and hit the ground.
In fact, I'm sure you watched last night the first interception that Trevor Lawrence threw. Hats off to the kid for making that hustle play and tackling the guy at the 1 yard line.
I guarantee you, nobody for Clemson.
Good in one. No, exactly. That's what I was going to say. I bet Dabo pulled him aside and said, "You know what? Next time, let's just let him walk in the end zone.
I mean, he's a leader. Your teammates love it, and you're going to point at that on film and say, look at this cat giving what he has. But inside, you're just – I mean, you literally, as a coach, close your eyes at that point.
Yeah, sure.
And then when he gets up, you're like, is his shoulder okay? Is he limp? You know.
Because they went through it last year.
Yeah.
I don't want Jake Fromm making goal line tackles if we can avoid that at all costs.
But Fromm, you know, he's a smart kid. He knows what to do. He knows how to take care of himself. And he's a tough son of a gun, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a winner. And this year – he knows what he's doing. You got to feel good about how he lines up and with the tools he has at his disposal. And, you know, it's going to be a lot of running the ball. It's going to be a lot of DeAndre Swift, Brian Herring, Zamir White. It keeps going James Cook. I mean, those guys are going to get the ball 60, 70% of the time. And then if Fromm can find the open man on a regular basis, the offense is going to be unstoppable against 90% of the teams we play.
And if you're Vandy, and Derek Mason does a good job coaching their defense, but if you're Vandy and it's like, okay, well, let's look at this Georgia roster, let's look at this Georgia offense, what would potentially be a weakness? I'm not saying it is, but what potentially is, well, like you said, the wide receiving core doesn't have a lot of experience. There's certainly a lot of very good players. And Robertson, we tend to forget, he has caught a lot of passes. It just hadn't been here at Georgia. But if you're Vandy, do you try to sell out and stop the run? And then if you do, does Fromm pick you apart? If you, you know, you're going to probably get beat either way, right?
Look, I think we've talked about this before. And you're seeing more and more now, you know, 10 years ago or so, the spread offense was the thing, right?
Yeah.
Chip Kelly is revolutionizing football.
Right, right.
You know, you're seeing all this different stuff pop up to where that's happening. You may say Clemson does it. Clemson is not a spread offense.
No. Nope.
Clemson is a power football team that lines up in different formations. You know, that whole idea about being a spread thing, you saw it with Chip Kelly last night. Scheme can beat that right there.
Yeah.
So what Georgia does, what Clemson does, what Alabama does, what Ohio State does, what all your top line programs do is they've got a balanced options. If you put 9 guys in the box, well, guess what? Tyler Simmons can go get it.
Yep.
Guess what? George Pickens, we think, can go get it. You know, you've got the cats that can do that. So, you know, Georgia's going to pound it. There's not a lot of secrets. We don't even need to huddle the majority of the time. We can just call sweep right, sweep left, and they know it's coming. If they can line up and stop it, good for them.
I know we're going to talk in depth about this throughout the whole season, but I certainly respect your view as a former offensive lineman. I guess is it one of those, if you're a former offensive lineman, you're always an offensive lineman. That's how we'll refer to you. But have you seen anything like what Georgia has right now at the college level? I mean, it's impressive. We talked about when we're at practice looking at just the massive size of these guys. You can't help but jaw drop when you look at these boys right now. It's the offensive line specifically.
Yeah. I mean, they're freaking specimens. I mean, Bama's done it some.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And look how good they've been. I mean, they're dominant. But, you know, I think the thing that's even more impressive right now is if you took Georgia's first 5 offensive linemen out and you put their second 5 in, how many teams in the country, if you had to take your 5 versus our second 5, wouldn't take our second 5 offensive linemen as their starters? Not saying they may not be a player here or there that's better.
I think most teams would take Georgia's second 5.
It's crazy.
I know. It is.
I mean, it's absolutely nuts. And
you probably got a couple of guys on the third team that they would take too.
Yeah. So
with the depth.
I mean, that's the strength of the Georgia football team. The offensive line and the running game. There ain't much secret with it, and I freaking love that. I mean, that's the way that you get after football. And people are going to get mashed. People are going to get mashed all year long.
And one of the things that certainly helped Georgia last year, because I'm looking back at, all right, Andrew Thomas was every game at left tackle except for he got hurt in the South Carolina game, and Cade Mays came in, and then Mays started against Middle Tennessee, and then Thomas started the ref. Kinley started every game at left guard. Lamont Galliard started every game at center. Isaiah Wilson started every game at right tackle. Right guard was the one spot where Georgia was having to kind of mix and match
because of injuries.
Because of Cleveland. But you're still bringing in Cade Mays. You still got Trey Hill. I mean, you just got stud after stud coming in. And that's where Georgia looks to be as strong as they've ever been, except when you were playing there.
Yeah, right.
and that kind of thing as far as what they can do and afford it. You know, in that South Carolina game is crazy. When Thomas gets hurt, they didn't have to shuffle around like three guys. No. They just bring Cade Mays in, and he just plays that position.
Georgia fans need to have perspective on this.
Yeah.
Because, it seems like when I played, it was getting to be the Ancient of Days, right? It's been 14 years ago. You go back 15, 16 years, 03. I was the oldest offensive lineman on the team as a redshirt sophomore.
Wow.
During spring, we had seven scholarship linemen. For 2 years prior to us coming in, Georgia signed one offensive lineman in 2 years. One in 2 years. And that was a guy named Chris Hewitt, who's actually more of a tight end who grew into being an offensive tackle.
Right.
So, we were in a situation where if one guy went down, like we were up the creek and our paddle was broken. That's not the case now. Like, you don't want guys to get hurt. Like, if Andrew Thomas goes down, that's a blow. If Trey Hill goes down, that's a blow. But you got guys behind them that you feel good about can step in and compete like crazy and
If Thomas got hurt, you could move Wilson over. You could Cade Mays. Yeah. I mean, so many good options there.
Cade Mays.
Yeah, Cade Mays, Lee Wilson. Yeah, you don't need to move people around.
Cleveland comes in and then Cade Mays.
It's incredible. It really is. 47 was that number in 2003, wasn't it? Pollock's number.
How many sacks we gave up. I told y'all before, man, like after the game, we'd go to shake, we'd leave the locker room and all that. And Greeny's mama, Miss K, sweet Miss K, I couldn't even look her in the eye. Like, Greeny got so beat up during that season. I'm like, I'm so sorry, Miss K.
I'm so sorry.
I really do like him.
But it could have been 48, right? But you saved one, didn't you?
I tackled the mess out of that defensive tackle from UAB.
You've told that story on air before here where you just it's either take the penalty or let Greeny go down, and you did the right thing.
Well, and for the record, I wasn't some white knight trying to save Greeny. The fact of the matter was a penalty was one gasser running after practice. A sack was two.
There you go.
Fat boys don't like to run. It's self-preservation.
That's right.
You take him down like the ref hit me with the flag.
This is about me, not Greeny.
Greeny fist bumped me. I was like, man, this ain't about you, dog. I don't want to run. But he appreciated it.
Absolutely. But by the way, that team still made it to the SEC championship game.
We weren't bad.
Yeah, no, still a good team.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be a little bit of a misleading stat to an extent. I guess to Coach Callaway it wasn't. But
it wasn't just on us. The backs and the tight ends had plenty of blame go around.
Exactly.
But, again, it's kind of like my donkey dying. We ain't trying to stir up all the old stuff here. We can get off the 47 sacks. Let's go to other things we accomplished.
But here's the thing. People don't realize, too. So you as being a center yourself, so you got to get up there and you got to put everybody in the right place. But if there's a blitz coming or if there's something that happens that the defense is bringing extra, then like you said, it's not always the offensive line that has to take the blame for that.
No, I mean a lot of it.
And
I
sometimes
mean,
it's the quarterback.
A lot of
it's
on the quarterback.
I'm not saying on Greeny. Ryan took a terrible sack in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, if you look back to the week zero game last week, Florida versus Miami, how many times that cat get sacked? 10?
10. Double digits.
If you look at that, probably four of them were on him. And it may be you're just holding the ball too long. It may be bad pocket presence.
Yeah.
Now, in his defense, if a guy hits you in the ear hole three times, you start hearing guys coming at you. You try to run.
Sure.
And you get sacked. But if the quarterback has pocket presence, has an awareness, and knows when to get rid of the stinking football, your sack numbers go way down. But that being said, their offensive line was also
not always, but
there's a lot that goes into it. But you know what? Running games solve a lot of that. So
exactly. And that Jaron Williams, I mean, he looks like a good athlete. Yeah. I don't know that Dan Enos needed to throw him under the bus, though.
I don't know what he did.
Yeah, what he just kind of...
Well, Dan Enos, he just said he's very disappointed in his performance. Like, openly in a press conference, called out Jaren Williams by name.
I was disappointed in Dan Enos's visor. Like, I've never seen the Miami stuff look worse. They usually have pretty good-looking uniforms to me.
Yeah,
it just said Miami across the front. Like, man, I don't know.
Going
speaking of Sebastian, isn't that the name Sebastian. Of their
that is
mascot?
Their what do they call it? It's not a...
It's like an egret or something.
Yeah, not an egret. They got a name for it. I got to look it up.
Sebastian was also the little horse in Parks and Rec.
He was.
Yeah.
So
you're aware of that.
He's an ibis, okay. By the way. Sebastian the ibis.
Ibis.
There you go. We learn things every day. The ibis, the mascot, Miami. That's the bird.
Oh, I got
the bird.
I got you.
That big old
seagull. The thing that brings babies when I hear you're ready for a baby. The stork. Well, an ibis, same.
Back on track, guys.
No, we're allowed to get off track.
We're not going down that rabbit hole.
Twice an hour.
Yeah.
It's after 8 o'clock. The kids are in school. So.
But, you know, but that's the thing that you hope Fromm does. Like, don't take a bad sack. Get rid of the ball when you have to. If you're under pressure, man, dump it off to James Cook in the flats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got players all around. Like, let those cats make plays, man. They're on scholarship, too. We say that every year.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know,
it's my favorite.
Let them go.
Yeah,
You mentioned James Cook. He's been the guy that I've circled, and a lot of other people is, like, the one to watch, that breakout offensive player that could do a lot of things. I think of Alvin Kamara with the Saints. I mean, you get the same vibe I'm getting. Yeah.
Yeah, similar skill set. So, you know, it's just a matter, man. Like, all these cats – that come in, like, they're going to get their shot, you know. And the days of a running back being like Herschel and George Rogers and Bo Jackson and Marcus Lattimore, even, you think about guys that were just workhorses.
Even Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
And that's not that long ago.
You know, I mean, those days are getting to be, you know, those are like the dinosaur, man.
Sure.
They're gone. So it's a shot now to where all these cats, if you get 10 to 12 touches a game as a running back, that's a lot. And you got to make the most of it. So that's the thing for guys like James Cook. You got to be in the right position. Then you got to execute. Then you got to make a guy miss and make a play. If you do that once or twice, well.
Wouldn't you say it's interesting, too, in recruiting where, like, if you had a five-star running back, you weren't going to be able to get another maybe stud running back that year because I'm not going there. This guy's going to get all the carries. And now it's – if you got a five-star running back, it's like, hey, this come here with this guy. You guys are going to have more, or less, you know, wear on the tires for the next level. So you can sell that as, hey,
and
the more, the better.
And Georgia and Bama are the teams that have kind of revolutionized that.
Yeah.
Think about Georgia for a second. You had Todd Gurley and who's with him?
Well,
Keith Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
You had Nick Chubb and
Sony Michel.
You had Bam and Bam. Bam. So it just keeps going with that. You know, so you get these guys and they realize that all these cats now, the level Georgia's recruiting at, Georgia's not recruiting a kid that doesn't have NFL aspirations, all right?
Right.
And it's an easy sell when a running back comes in because we all know, we hear it all the time and the stats back it up, running backs fall off the cliff roughly at what age?
30.
Why is that? Because of all the carries you have that have accumulated up to that from the time you're 16 years old.
I think 30's top end right now.
Yeah.
It's more like late 20s or
27, 28, you're starting to go down. 30, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And they track it back to say, well, you carry the ball 300 times a year at Georgia. You know, the NFL scouts are not impressed because you can carry the ball 34 times a game. If you get 10 to 12 carries, 14 carries, and you show what you can do and you're fresh and you're healthier, there's more tread on your tires, your NFL contract's extended, you'll get another $50 million. I mean,
exactly.
It's a good selling point.
I imagine the selling point also goes, look at these massive men that are opening holes for you as well. To make you look even better, I imagine Sam Pittman. I assume is on every single
Logan. You would average
pitch with the running.
You would average 3.5 yards a carry.
Absolutely, I wouldn't. It wouldn't feel good after being tackled. I'm not sure I would get up for another play, but I would definitely gain those 3 yards.
Yeah,
hey, and if you get 3.5 yards every carry,
that
every four down, you're getting a first down. You could take it right into the end zone.
You betcha.
No problem
at
all.
And I think that's one reason I think as Georgia fans and people that follow the program are so optimistic. I mean, Russ, you're glowing this morning as we're talking about what Georgia could be this year.
I've been in the sun, dog.
Absolutely. And I've as well.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
But you mentioned how so many teams are reverting to more of a spread, a passing attack. Football 101, you're giving up the ability to control the clock. That's something that I think Kirby and Nick Saban as well at Alabama, they still value more than anything is keep control of that clock. Georgia right now has the ability to just wear you down physically and mentally and on the scoreboard in terms of time remaining. every single possession. That's what has me excited.
I had this thought the other day, and it's true for this Georgia team. I watched, was it 2 years ago we played Auburn in the SEC Championship
yes,
game?
Yes, 17.
So if you watch that game, I mean, it turned out like, you know, 31-7 or 28-7, something like that. It ended up being, you know, not that close to the end of the game.
Right.
But to start the fourth quarter, I think it was like 13-7 or something.
No,
like
it was close.
It was a tight game.
It was a blocked field goal.
But what happens was Auburn could not stand up to the style of football and the athletes Georgia had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about a Vanderbilt game. The old adage, if you're a Vanderbilt fan coming into this, has always been, excuse me, let's hang around to the fourth quarter. If we can keep it close to the fourth quarter, we got a shot. It's almost the other way around. If Georgia has the lead going into the fourth quarter,
good luck.
The pounding starts to wear guys down. They just cannot take it.
And
the gaps start to open up. The arms get tired of tackling. The defense linemen aren't pursuing. And then DeAndre Swift busts a 70-yard run, and the game's over.
Not only DeAndre Swift, you got fresh legs behind him, 3-4 deep most of the time. So it's a good formula right now.
By the way, how much would they have to pay you to be the first cat to tackle Zamir White in the open field
tomorrow? I was going to add, we'll get to that in the next segment. I want to ask you about Zamir White. So, yeah.
A lot. All right, let's take a quick break. Russ Tanner, mortgage banker, Prime Lending. You can find Russ online at athenslender.com. By the way, that's easy to remember. athenslender.com.
Buying a house, refinancing.
Yeah.
Just like my daddy says, I am your man.
Yeah. Anything else to throw in there?
No, we're good, man.
All right.
I'm talking about dogs this morning.
No, I want you to.
Gave themselves the day off. They're like, look, I've been with you long enough to know the Friday before the first Georgia game, we ain't doing junk.
It's like having a substitute teacher.
That's right.
There ain't nothing getting done today. All right. AthensLender.com for Russ Tanner. We'll be back with more of the dog talk. It's 8:31.
Good morning. Welcome back in. 8:36. It's the morning show on 960 The Ref. Little Friday Night Lights / Red Coat music for you. The Friday before Labor Day, by far one of the best days of the year. And it's even better that we have Russ Tanner live in studio.
Let me get two claps and a Ric Flair.
Woo! There you go. There you go. Prime Lending, AthensLender.com.
Do you watch Hard Knocks at all? Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you watch Hard Knocks at all, Russ?
This is actually the first year I've ever watched it. So
you've watched the worst season so
that's
far.
What I've
I
heard.
Love that show, but
knock on wood.
If you're with me, knock on wood, folks. That's what made me think.
He's lived Hard Knocks. He doesn't have to watch it.
That's true.
The truth.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a fascinating look at just a program. But no, this year has been dreadfully boring. So give it another shot.
Jeremy emailed in and said the second time that Ron Swanson cried was Sebastian,
mm-hmm.
and according to the Ron Swanson pyramid of greatness. Crying is only allowed at funerals and the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
So I love this. I'm going to always remember you got Sebastian now in the
there
household.
You go.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, we're good.
Absolutely love it. What did we say we were going to talk about when we came back?
Our man Zamir White.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
We had I'll ask you the same question. We had a conversation yesterday. We had a little over-unders just for the specific Georgia-Vanderbilt game. I set the over-under for carries for Zamir White tomorrow at 8.5.
Okay.
What are you looking at tomorrow? What do you think?
There's no way
of knowing.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, 8 to 10 is about what I would guess. I mean, I think you're kind of, you know, you're pretty close to that. I mean, if you think about just the overall way the game goes, I mean, you're going to have what? Need my man Doc Brent Rollins tells
me. Yeah.
What, you got about 60 or 70 plays a game? You know, out of that, tomorrow you're probably going to have 25 passes. So that leaves 30 to 35 runs.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned last segment you'd hate to be the first guy that had to tackle Zamir White in the open. And what I've seen, what you've seen, I'm no longer worried about his health. Now, I certainly want him to stay healthy. That's not what I mean. But I don't look at this as a situation where, oh, we got to ease him in.
No, heck no.
From the highlights that Georgia puts out, from the little bit we get to see at practice, this dude is ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
And he is an absolute beast by all accord. I'm with you. I do not want to be the first man that tackles Zamir White.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to probably have to – they're going to have to work hard to bring him down a little bit tomorrow, you know. I mean, his juice has to be rolling, man. He's got to be ready to rock and roll, you know, because I don't think, you know, most people don't understand what ends up happening in your body from an adrenaline. I'm about to give y'all science lessons here. From an adrenaline, that testosterone gets pumping, the adrenaline gets going. You know, you've been on the sideline for 2 years after you have been a stud daddy your whole life. Like, think volcano. I mean, it is building, and it's just waiting on a chance to explode, and that's where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean he's going to go 90 yards on his first play and, you know, give Bill Bates the Herschel Walker treatment? Not necessarily, but, you know, the cat's going to be ready. So as long as he can just calm himself down and mentally do what he's supposed to do, the skill set's there.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, yeah, I mean, who are you not excited to see for Georgia tomorrow? I mean, you're excited to see DeAndre Swift. You're excited to see Zamir White. You know, James Cook, we all think would be great. You know, you look at Brian Herrien. Brian Herrien's a guy, I mean, he's going into his eighth year as a running back for Georgia. And, you know, every year Brian Herrien makes a run or two where you're like, man, that guy's all right. He's a hardworking cat. Did he just run over another person? So, you know.
I don't want to tackle any of them. I want no part of any of those guys. And I think that's what you want with the other team thinking the same thing, yeah, too. You wear them down.
You know, and I mean, I know we always end the show talking about, like, what do you hope to see? What do you think the game plan is for tomorrow? Well, I mean, we all know it's ground and pound. It's line up and go after them. But, you know, I hope we can see a little bit of a vertical passing game. Mm-hmm. I hope we can see George Pickens go get the ball one time on a post. You know, I'm pulling for guys like Trey Blunt, who's a wide receiver in the system. He's worked hard, been a program guy who's worked for the team, been there on special teams. You know, you hope to see some guys like that break out and really make the teams we're getting ready to play, Notre Dame in 2 weeks in particular, have to prepare for all the different options that we're going to throw at them. So, you know, that's I hope we see Fromm tomorrow go, you know, 16 for 18. About 370 and three touchdowns.
We've talked a lot about the offense.
I take that.
Yes, in a heartbeat.
We talked a lot about the offense so far, but I think another highlight that people are very, very excited about, there's nowhere on the defense that has me super concerned. If you want to point at little things, yeah, I think the defensive line may be a little bit unknown, but this goes right back to the theme of what this conversation has been, is that when I've had a peek at practice, they're not the smallest of boys out there. Those guys are pretty darn good, and some of the new additions on the edge, looking at the Jermaine Johnsons, the Nolan Smiths, they might be the plug and play that we need right now.
And, I mean, I think that's the biggest question mark on defense is, you know, are we going to have a pass rush this year? You know, we're using this new word this year. What's the defensive buzzword this year?
Havoc.
Right, baby. Like, we're using this a lot. We're hearing that word a lot. You know, is that going to happen? You know, Georgia's been very sound, been very fundamental, and very good on defense. But it hasn't been that havoc situation where you're really ball hawking. You're really, you know, creating turnovers. You're really forcing the issue behind the line of scrimmage. And that's the thing I think you're going to see Georgia try to emphasize as much on defense this year as anything, is starting to move the line of scrimmage backwards, to pressure the quarterback, to make him make bad decisions, to give some of his cats in the secondary a chance to go get a ball that's hanging up there in the air.
Can Georgia do that with four guys?
Yes.
I think they can, too.
You should be able to.
Yeah.
You know, and those outside linebackers, I mean, I'm going to try to name them, but we're going to leave some off. You know, you go Nolan Smith, Ojulari, Adam Anderson, Jermaine Johnson's back now, you know, Robert Beal, Britton Cox. No, wait, never mind.
Wait. Hold on.
Stirring up bad stuff. But, I mean, you got six or seven guys that are studs, man.
By the way, if this were 10 years ago, Britton Cox would still be on the team, I think.
You think
In
so?
Other words, you couldn't have afforded to lose a guy like that. Now, it's like, as Russ is naming off all these studs, it's like, look, man, all right, it's like don't let the door hit you in the backside.
It's like going to the dermatologist. Sometimes you got to cut a little cancer out.
Exactly. Exactly. I agree.
I mean, best luck to the kid after his time with the Gators.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, exactly. It's a very, very bizarre situation. He's not been cleared yet.
He didn't play in the Miami game.
I don't expect him to be, but right now, what's going to surprise you from the NCAA? The answer is absolutely nothing. So we'll see. I don't think he will, just based on the circumstance. But back to all the studs on the outside linebackers, just a stupid rich man's problem right now for Georgia. I've never seen anything like it. But middle linebacker, you're equally as deep. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
You're still unproven there.
You are unproven.
And that's the thing. But, I mean, you look at those guys. You look at Quay Walker, Channing Tindall, N'Kobe Dean. You know, who
Monty
are the guys?
Monty Rice right now, man. It's
Monty
just...
Rice. I mean, you got Monty Rice and Tay Crowder.
Yeah.
Who have played a lot and you feel good about, but, you know, who are the cats behind them that are really going to step up when the lights are bright? You know, and that's what, you know, well, I think that's what we're excited to see.
One thing I love about the defense, and the big number we all knew last year, Georgia's roster was made up of 68% freshmen and sophomores. Now you got a whole lot of cats that are not only upperclassmen, but game experience taking the thing. That's one of the pieces of the formula that has me with the Kool-Aid stain on my upper lip right now.
And you need that, man. I'm telling you, especially going into Vanderbilt Stadium. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing sucks the life out of you more than the Commodore's horn blowing.
Anchor down.
It's the worst locker room in the SEC for a visitor. We were up there at like 03-04, and there's always this little like hot plate on the floor that where you, they bull mouthpieces, right? That's yeah. I don't know if you guys know that's yeah. still a thing, right? Yeah. Where you bull mouthpieces about it. Maybe it still is now. I don't know. There's this little hot plate on the floor, and it was so junky in the Vanderbilt locker room that the hot plate was just on the floor in the middle of the locker room with boiling water. And Coach Fabris stepped in it before the game.
Oh, my gosh.
It burned his foot.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, took just, the skin off.
What's the one-sentence version? I don't know. Why do you boil mouthpieces?
To make it fit your mouth.
Just make okay, to
it
form.
Molds
okay,
it. Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, it makes it soft, and you bite it, and it yeah. molds to your
okay.
teeth. So,
yeah.
I've never been
there. So, you know, you're coming out of this janky locker room. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, some of the toilets don't even have doors on the stalls. You got everybody sitting on top of each other. You got coaches stepping in boiling water. Then you come out to, you know, 15,000 people going, "Hey, Vanderbilt, we had a nice little glass of yeah. Chardonnay before this. Let's have some football today." And then the horn starts going, "Huh."
Yeah. And you're like, oh. You know,
so all that, if you got these.
Does it bring you down?
Yes.
Yeah.
But if you got these experienced cats that understand the gravity right. of the situation, know you need to come out hot, you need to come out strong, you know, the experience helps this year with that.
Well, here's an interesting note. This is the first time since 56 that the Dogs have opened a season against Vanderbilt. Larry Munson was calling that game for Vanderbilt,
ooh.
So which is kind of interesting there. So, and I've got some friends that they were just going to StubHub, you know, tickets and go to the game.
They're like $400
a piece. Yeah, and that now they're like, I don't know, man. This is this is Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But it's Georgia. I mean, it's going to be like a Notre Dame-esque kind of takeover, isn't it, tomorrow night?
I think so. You know, and I didn't really realize that or notice it, but, you know, Clay Travis, the radio guy up in Nashville, he tweeted something out about like this morning about like what StubHub prices are for tickets now, and mm-hmm. he's like, Georgia fans must be planning on taking over another stadium.
We've been watching it all week. It's been 160, 180. This morning, according to what we've been looking at, the end price, the cheapest ticket, $205
for Vandy.
For Vandy,
it's crazy.
But right. I'll say this, and I was going to ask you as a player, as a fan, I've been numerous times. I actually really like the environment at Vandy. I think it's cool to see Georgia play on that sort of smaller scale. But what is it like for a player to walk out of that SEC tunnel and there's 45,000 seats around you?
Well, one of your coaches has already scalded his foot on
boiling
water. Wait, I don't know.
All right. So are you serious right now that you like Vandy?
That's what I was wondering.
I have always had a good time up there. I've enjoyed watching
the
smaller environment.
They put up a pop-up tent in the end zone for like their media to stand there.
I get it. It's not a popular opinion.
After the game, you're sitting there, you're interviewing the players under the – you're outside under that overhang thing
it's
or whatever.
Terrible.
Yeah, it is.
No, the accommodations are not great, but I've enjoyed sitting in the stands with an intimate setting of watching my team.
I remember this was before they had lights in baseball. They finally, they were like the Wrigley Field of baseball. But I remember this was back in the early 90s and Scott Howard was calling the baseball games. He forgot his hat, so he had to go buy a Vandy hat because the sun was just beating down on you.
Scott can't take the direct sun on top of his head.
No. And I think they heckled him for being bald. I think
that was the best they could do.
I
do not like the Vanderbilt Stadium. Yeah. I did not enjoy it. There's nothing about it that I enjoy. And on the sideline, like your bench is up against a brick wall. And there's just, like, one metal bar between you and the fans. So you don't get heckling because Vanderbilt fans don't heckle.
No, I do
but
know.
But you got Georgia fans who think they're helping you.
Like,
all right, listen.
Hey, you need to do this.
Listen, Tim, I understand you're an accountant from Alpharetta. But I don't need you to tell me at all to watch out for the mic coming to the A-gap. I understand you watched a video last week to see what that means. You don't need to tell me. So, you know, you have like all this weird fan interaction where they're talking to you, and you got to pretend like you don't hear them. You just try to ignore them like you do your kids when you're watching the game. They're trying to tell you something. Like, you hear them. You hear everywhere they're saying, but you hope, like, if I ignore it long enough, it'll go away. Like, you hear the fans, but then you got to pretend you don't. And then there's always that one idiot who doesn't stop until you at least wave and acknowledge him. And then, you know, all right, so.
We got you, boss.
Hey, coach, this guy in the stands got a good idea.
You know
what do you think
about
this?
You know what the comeback is always saying? It's like, hey, well, at least you want your fans to be passionate about it. And then sometimes you're like, yeah, but not like that. I'll take passion in a different way.
Yeah, same.
So, all right. Hey, by the way, we're going to play Who's That Dog when we come back, and it's going to pertain to Russ.
I love it.
Yes. So he is the dog.
All right.
The answer is Russ Tanner.
But Russ is not the answer. You have a different question here. So
that makes more sense.
So what we're going to do is play Who's That Dog for a chance to win a $25 gift card from the UGA bookstore. And, Strap Dog, Russ did just say commode doors on the stalls. I think. Didn't you?
I don't know.
Well, I thought you did. We call them the commode doors. Anyway, Strap's listening. Quick timeout. We'll play Who's That Dog when we come back. It is 8:49.
At the Dogs Covered, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref.
All right, it's 8:52. It's the morning show presented by St. Mary's Medical Group. Our man from Prime Lending, Russ Tanner, former Georgia center here with just a couple of more minutes to go, mortgage banker at Prime Lending. You can find Russ online at athenslender.com. That's very easy to remember, athenslender.com. And that's how you can get in touch with Russ.
All day, baby.
And he'll get right back to you, too, right?
Speed of response.
So, anyway. All right, we're going to play Who's That Dog in just a couple of minutes. Before we do so, Russ, how about a couple of, not that we haven't really talked about it, but a couple of keys to tomorrow night?
I mean, you know, Georgia needs to start fast. I think about when we played up there, 03 or 04, whenever it was, you know, I think they had a safety. It was like 3-2 at halftime. It's just one of the worst games ever.
Yeah,
You started slow in that environment. You know, I want to see the Dogs start fast tomorrow. You want to see some big plays early. You want to see some explosion out of the offense. And, you know, you really want to come out of that where everybody really executes well and kind of unleashes what we hope this Georgia team is going to be. Then on defense, you want to see who the cats are. You know, we in the past, we've always had a guy that stepped up, whether it be Roquan or, you know, thinking about the guys like Jarvis Jones, David Pollard. They're always guys that have been the stars of the defense. And, like, who's that going to be this year? You know, DeAndre Baker last year, you knew if the ball went his way when the game's on the line, the receiver wasn't getting it. So it just affects how your entire team plays. So you want to see this year, like, who is the guy for the defense on the defensive side of the ball for Georgia that's going to affect the other team's game plan? And, you know, let's like Phil Mickelson talks about hitting bombs. Let's throw some bombs, baby.
There you go.
Let's open it up and really try to attack and explode on Vanderbilt. And that's what I want to see.
Maybe we'll put some bombs on the ground game too.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, maybe so. And then get to do the fat man jog.
Fat
boy shuffle.
Yeah, that's when you move your arms and legs to look like you're jogging, but you're really going the speed of a brisk walk.
Hey, let's see a couple of those.
Yeah.
I'd be fine with that. All right, we mentioned Who's That Dog for a chance to win a $25 gift card to the UGA bookstore. And Russ has been kind enough to let us use his name as the question. So, but Russ is not the answer. It's kind of like Jeopardy. So,
by the way, the lines are busy. I'm going to open them up after the Sports Center.
Okay.
Just let you know that.
Or when we go to break.
Yeah, we go to break.
Yeah, when we go to break. We'll have the answer for you when we come back at 9:05. So, if you know anything about Russ, you know where he went to high school. You know where he cut his teeth in football. And he's largely considered the best player from his high school.
Hands down.
And he is one of only two players from his high school that have had their jersey retired.
True story.
That is indeed a true story. I think it's awesome. Who is that other player that had his jersey retired at the high school that Russ went to? I'm not saying the high school. That might give it away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a struggle for our audience.
No, I think everybody's going to know. We want to start out, you know. We'll build up the questions. We'll bring Jeff in later on in the year to make them really, really hard. But this one, you know, this is a softball in here. Russ, this is awesome, man. This is when it really, you know, when Coach Donning comes in on Tuesday, when you come in on Friday, I know football season is here.
It's time, baby.
Yeah.
It's time to tee it up.
It is great.
North of the hedges.
Great.
I don't even care.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see you. We'll see you again next Friday. AthensLender.com. Our man Russ Tanner.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.